Father, we celebrate today not just the women in our church who we love so much, and we know, Lord, that you love them so much, but we celebrate the women of the Bible, women that we can look to, that we can glean from and learn from. And we know, Lord, that we're all your creation. We thank you, Jesus, for the love that you have for us. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And as we study through your word today, we ask that your Holy Spirit would fill us afresh and that we would leave here today with application, that we'd be able to take some of the things that we heard and listened to and apply them here in our church and in our lives. We thank you, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this isn't just for moms or for life givers here today. This message, I believe, is for every single one of us. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that God created us, all of us in his image. He created a male and female. He created them. So that's one thing that we got out of the way, that's for sure, right? But today, I want to kind of make this a little bit interactive. I know you guys just love when I do that, right? But, you know, I want to just bring up some of the women in the Bible who we look at and read about and glean from and learn from. So I want you guys' input on this, okay? We want to see how, you know, I know we sent the kids away for Sunday school already, but this is your opportunity to kind of speak up as an adult and just kind of share. So I'll start off, okay? So we have Eve, right? And it doesn't have to be just moms, but we have Eve, who is the mother of all mankind. Who else do we have in the Bible that we can look to and glean from? Feel free to yell out, speak up. Deborah, thank you. We're going to actually focus a little bit on Deborah today, Rebecca. So good. Oh, Rebecca. Oh, did I say? Yes. And we probably have a ton of Rebeccas in the room here today, don't we? Who else? Come on, you guys. Ruth. Oh, I love Ruth, too. And we have a Ruth here in our congregation as well. Who else? Come on, bring it. Esther. Queen Esther, right? She was a mother. She was the stepmother. We learned about this several months ago, but she ended up being the stepmother to King, you guys remember? Not Arthur. Close, though. King Artaxerxes, right? King Artaxerxes. All right, keep it coming. A couple other women in the Bible. Doesn't have to just be, yeah, Sarah, right? She was the mother, Sarah or Sarai, the mother of the Jewish people, right? We have some New Testament moms, too, or ladies. Who else? Mary, yes, several Marys in the Bible as well, right? We have Mary, the mother of Jesus. You have Mary Magdalene, right? Who else? A couple. Hannah. I heard of Martha. Yes, Mary and Martha, the sisters, right? Very. Abigail. Oh, I love Abigail. Yes, read about Abigail, I believe, in 1 Samuel and how she came in contact with Daniel. Am I right on that first? David, what did I say? Daniel, King Daniel. Yeah, that's King Arthur and Daniel. They kind of go together. All right, one more and we'll move on. Wait, what did you say? Yes, Rahab. Wow, Rahab, a very unlikely descendant of Jesus Christ. So very good, you guys. I really appreciate that. But, you know, today we're going to look at Judges chapter 5. Actually, we're going to look at several portions of Scripture today. We'll be in Judges chapter 5, 1 Corinthians 12, and John 15. So if you want, you could, you know, just start with me and we can turn there as we get there. But let's turn to Judges chapter 5 today. I want to read this to you because we are going to read about, thank you, Rebecca, we're going to read a little bit about Deborah. Not a whole bunch, but I want us to look at Judges chapter 5. Good. I hear, love, love, love to hear the pages of the Bible flipping. Someone needs to invent an app where for all those people that like to open their Bibles on their phones, if you had an app that has the page flipping, right? You'll get rich, trust me. Judges chapter 5, verse 1. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of the Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, "When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, I will sing to the Lord." This is Deborah speaking. "I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom,
The earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord, the Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. I love to read about Deborah. I love to read about how God, how she was willing to be used by God when the general of Israel, Barak, was unwilling to step forward. And when we look at Deborah, you know, when we look through the scriptures and we just read about her in the book of Judges, Deborah wore many different hats. Deborah had a lot of different responsibilities. She was a judge in Israel. In fact, she was the only female judge in Israel before the first king of Israel. She was a leader. She was a poet. She was a songwriter. We just read one of her songs, one of her poems. She was also a prophetess because she prophesied to Barak that surely if he went up against their enemies, that the Lord would help deliver the enemies into their hands. So Deborah wore many different hats. Well, moms also wear many different hats, don't they? Moms are nurturers. Moms are the ones who break up the fights, right? They're the peacekeepers. They're the counselor. They're the party planners. They're the healthcare providers in so many different ways, right? They're a lot of times the housekeeper. And I'm speaking generally. I know guys do some of this stuff too. But, you know, for moms, they're the ones who really step up. They have many different things that they do. Yet they're known as what? Mom. We call her mom, right? And even though Deborah wore many different hats, even though Deborah was a prophetess, she was a leader, she was a judge, Deborah was all of these different things. I love what she identified herself as here in the scripture. She identified herself as a mother in Israel. Now, this is interesting to me. I believe this could be used in two ways. She could have been a mother in Israel, meaning she was a mother. She lived in Israel. She might have had children of her own. But I also believe that, figuratively speaking, Deborah also was considered a mother for Israel. Because Deborah was the one who was willing to step up. Deborah was the one who was willing to step up when Barak would not step up. And remember, she even had to go to him and asked him in chapter 4 of Judges, she said, didn't the Lord send you all of these troops to go to Mount Tabor and to take this battle and that he was going to send 10,000 men with you? And yet Barak refused to go. He was afraid to go unless what? Unless Deborah went with him. My wife and I, Claudia, we have two girls. They're in their, the youngest is in her 20s, our oldest is 30 now. But I can kind of remember back, way back when they were babies, when they were, you know, would wake up in the middle of the night. Some of you ladies remember that? Guys remember that? Now, I'm not admitting to anything here today. But I am going to say this. It is possible that when our children were babies and they would wake up in the middle of the night, that I might have chosen to breathe a little heavier. You know, ask Claudia, we have a dog. We just got a dog, Sunny. And even now when Sunny needs to wake up in the middle of the night, I might just breathe a little bit heavier. I get up with her, I do. But you know, when our kids were little, sometimes I would be asleep, right? I'd be in a deep, deep sleep. And I had allowed my wife, Claudia, to be able to get up and be with the kids. And then when, you know, the kids would fall down and hurt themselves, you know, I mean, moms get up in the middle of the night. Why? Because moms are nurturers, right? They know that if dad's not going to get up, she's going to have to be the one that takes care. So when the kids fall down and they get hurt, the moms, they're so loving and they just hold the children. Oh, my poor baby. And they're so concerned and they clean the wounds so well and they make sure a good Band-Aid goes on there. Maybe with the, you know, one of those graphic, Sesame Street emblems on the front of the Band-Aid. What do guys do when our kids fall down and get hurt? Randy, you know this, right? Oh, you'll be all right. Let's just rub some dirt on that, right? Spit on it a little bit. You're okay. You're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Listen, I'm not saying guys aren't nurturing, but we have a way of nurturing just a little bit different than gals do, don't we? But I want us to look at this really quick. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 4 through 8. It says this, but now this is the Apostle Paul who had planted a church in Thessalonica. He had brought a team of church planters with him. And he says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness, nor did we seek the glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. Now, look at this next part. This is really important. This is Paul speaking of him and those church planters who are with him. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Now, what I think the Apostle Paul is saying here, that as they had gone and they had planted this church in Thessalonica, that they were coming alongside of these new believers in Jesus Christ, and they were taking care of these new believers just like anyone would take care of a newborn baby. That's what this is saying to me, that all of us in the body of Christ have a role to play, to be almost as, in a sense, a nursing mother, that every single one of us, not just the moms in the room, not just the powerful women in the Bible, but every single one of us have a responsibility to nurture the body of Christ, to come along and mother, in a sense, the body of Christ. Listen, it's not just a few select people in the church. Every single one of us, listen, every single one of us have a responsibility, in a sense, to be a nursing mother. Now, in Deborah's case, she really didn't see any options because the leader, the general, Barak, he was refusing to go unless he would go with her. So, in a sense, Deborah kind of became the general of the Israeli army. Now, what does that mean for us, you guys? Listen, this is so important, and if we're to take anything away from this Mother's Day message today, it's this, that we, as a believer in Jesus, and I'm not just talking about this church, but the body of Christ at large, but I am talking about this church, but not just this church, but all of us as believers in Jesus Christ, we all have a responsibility in the family, right? I mentioned Rachel earlier. We love the Bachman family, right? Claudia and I were invited by Rachel and the kids to come for dinner several months back. And you know what we noticed about their family? That every single, except for the little ones, right? But all of the kids, everyone had a responsibility. The older ones were taking care of the younger ones. They were helping serve. They were helping clean. They were making sure everyone, no one got missed. Everyone had a meal to eat. Listen, every single one of us in the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters, have a responsibility. Now, some of us have a more nurturing role to play. Others are like warriors, right? Warriors for Christ. And when I say warriors for Christ, I'm not talking about pulling a sword out, but I'm talking about pulling a sword out. I'm talking about someone who's interceding on behalf of the body, praying on their knees always. Some are nurturers, some are warriors, but listen, all of us are called to nurse. We're all called to be a nurse, in a sense, a nursing one of us. And listen, if one of us won't step up, or if several of us won't step, listen, I'll step up, or maybe you'll step up, but we all have a responsibility. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. Hood Canal Community Church, listen, we all have a role to play in this church. Every single one of us have a role to play. Are we being that person that God has called us to be? Are we stepping up as a mother of this community church? I want to share a story. We get newsletters from our missionary friends that we support. And because of safety reasons, I'm really going to try hard not to use her name, but I don't think we'll put her in danger if I accidentally slip it out there, but I'm going to try not to. One of our missionary friends sent a newsletter, and she's serving in the Pacific Islands and in a very, very, very remote village. And at about 4:00 in the morning, a man came knocking on her hut or door or whatever. I don't know exactly how that works, but he was in need. His wife had just given birth to a baby, and there were some complications. They were having a problem. The child was born at about 4 a.m., and it was about an hour, hour and a half later, and the placenta hadn't come out yet. So they got out of bed, and they went down over to where this man's wife was, and there were several people around, and many in the community who were giving advice and counsel. Some of the doctors and nurses that they knew said, listen, this is usually typical of a mother who's giving birth to twins. So they're thinking, wow, maybe there's another baby that, you know, is going to be born. And they're waiting and they're waiting. Finally, they contacted another mission organization who had an airplane, and they were going to airlift the mom and the baby over to a neighboring city where there was a hospital where they could take good care of her. Well, right before that was about to take place, the baby was born. And they were so elated, they were so happy, the babies were doing good, but mama was getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and she was losing a lot of blood, so they decided to airlift her over to the city anyway, and our missionary friend went with her because she knew that she was going to have difficulty navigating things in a big city like that she's not used to going. So when they got there, our missionary friend, she went out and went and bought a bunch of medications for the mother. And when she got back into the hospital, she got there just in time. The baby, the second baby, was choking, probably from some of the fluids that were still inside of his lungs. And our missionary friend had got there just in time because, remember, the babies weren't patients of the hospital. Just the mother was. So she came along and she was able to pat the baby on the back, and he coughed out all that gunk and junk that was inside of his lungs, saving the baby's life, which was a miracle. But listen, that's not the end of it. Because in that culture, the mothers or the village people, the village people, okay. Yes, do it for us, April. Why am I saying no? They really would focus on the firstborn baby when twins were born and not so much on the second baby, believing that the second baby probably isn't going to survive anyway. So the mother was probably going to be committed to nursing the firstborn baby, but maybe not so much the secondborn baby. And you guys know how important it is to feed babies every 2 hours, right? So they need to feed those children all the time. So our missionary friend decided to stay there with the mother and was there around the clock, 24 hours a day for 7 days, and would set her alarm every 2 hours. She would wake up and she would bottle feed the second baby, and this would in turn would encourage the mother to wake up and to nurse the first baby. And our missionary friend told us that in the newsletter, but by the end of that week, when it was time to move on and give the baby back, she had really connected with that child. Now, the title of the newsletter was How the Body of Christ Works Together. And the newsletter was, she was saying how thankful she was for the Christian doctor and the Christian nurses that had given advice. She was so thankful for the Christian pilot that had helped fly them over to the city. She was so thankful for all the people, all the Christians who had come together to pray for this mother. Listen, in effect, this group of people had come together and were the moms to these two little baby twins. And that is how the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, is supposed to function. We are supposed to serve the Lord together. We are to pool our gifts and talents and to be used by God so that it's not just any one person or any group of people that are doing all of the work. You know what they say, right? They say like 10% of the people in a church do 90% of the work. Listen, that's not how it's supposed to be. We are all to come together. We are to work together. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I know that this is a familiar portion of Scripture. You've read this before, but I'm going to reiterate it for us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It's a rhetorical question, of course. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Many different members, one body. You guys know how this works, right? So sometimes we wake up in the middle of the night and we need to go to the kitchen to get a glass of water, and we're walking through the house and everything's dark, and you stub your little baby toe on a piece of furniture. It's not just the little baby toe that's reacting here, right? In the middle of the night. Our whole body reacts to that pain that's taking place because our little baby toe just got smashed into a piece of furniture. Listen, when one person in our church, in our community, is hurting, that means every single one of us should be hurting. If one person in the body of Christ is in need, listen, we need to be coming together to help one another out. If there are needs in the church, we should be coming together and utilizing the gifts and talents that God has given us to bless the body, to bless the church. I want to share a couple of photos with y'all. Last Monday, we had an outreach at the food bank. It was a really well-attended outreach. We had about 20 people. I don't know if everyone in this photo was there, but who was there is in this photo. But it was a really well-attended outreach that we did over at the food bank last Monday. And I want you guys to know something, that this wasn't just something that we just came up with on a, you know, in a thought and just went, but there was weeks of planning. We had a committee of six people that about 4 weeks ago had started meeting, and they had started planning for this outreach. And then we made the announcement to the church, hey, if you'd like to come and be a part of this outreach, show up here on Monday at 10:15. So it went from just the five people who had been doing the planning to about 20 people who showed up. And when we showed up and we prayed together and we went down to the food bank, man, God showed up. Let me show you some pictures. So here's Brenda praying with somebody there at the food bank. She's holding a sign saying free prayer. She was available to pray. And you know what? People took advantage of that. People came up. People wanted to be prayed for. It wasn't just Brenda. I know that Leanne was a part of that. There were several people who were praying for different people there at the food bank on that day. Let's get this next one going. Gospel conversations were taking place. So we were barbecuing hamburgers and hot dogs, and we had some tables set up. And you see Frank was there and Carl was there and several people in our church. They were just sitting down and having conversations with people. And the goal was for those conversations to be steered towards Jesus, and many of them were. We had two different worship teams. This was outside. We had Enoch, we had Nick, and we had a guy, what was his name? Don, right? Don, is Enoch here? Don, thank you, Enoch. So Don's a guy that Enoch has been ministering to a community of folks up there on Schoolhouse Road, and doing some barbecues up there. And Don, they met up there, and they started playing music together. And Don showed up for the food bank outreach, and the three guys were outside just playing music together. It was beautiful. They were playing worship music. And then inside, while that was taking place, we had John and Allie and Jen, and not Jen, sorry, all the Silla girls, you know who they are. They were worshiping the Lord, and then we had Jennifer and Amber was serving food, and Gail was out there serving food. If I don't have a picture of you, I apologize for that. If you were there, I tried to get as many pictures as I possibly could. We were serving good burgers and hot dogs, and there's Mark doing the grilling. He was doing a great job on the grill. And you guys know Harry, right? So Harry wasn't with us that day. He was with us, but he wasn't with us. He's there serving as a volunteer regularly, as well as Miss Connie. And several of you guys are already part of that community, serving there on a regular basis. And then this is just a picture of the whole of the whole group together. We're just, you know, loving God and serving God together. And this was just, guys, this was just a beautiful example of how the body of Christ can come together and share the gospel of Jesus, and to just be doing those things. If one person isn't able to, you know, stand there and pray, another person might step in. It's just, this is how the body of Christ works together. So I got a little joke, and it's not funny. How many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? All of them. I know, it's not funny. Not funny at all, but I brought this up for a reason, okay? So do you guys know that there's a light bulb called the Centennial Light Bulb that's been lit solidly since 1901? Yeah, in Livermore, California, at a fire station, there's a light bulb that's been lit since 1901. That's a long time. There was a 22-minute period of time where they were changing fire stations from one fire station to another. So they had to undo the bulb and bring it to the next fire station for 22 minutes, and then they replugged it in. Bill, does this sound legitimate to you? He's shaking his head no. He's our electrician. Look it up. Google it. If it's on the internet, it's got to be true, Bill. Now, there's a reason why this light bulb has been able to remain lit for almost 100 years or so. And it's not just because it was a well-built light bulb, which I'm sure it probably was, but it's because it wasn't constantly being turned on and turned off, turned on and turned off, turned on. You guys get the picture, right? When we turn our light bulbs on and off in our homes and our churches, it's going on. That's what depreciates the life of the light bulb. This light bulb has been left on all of these years. And it's going to remain on for however long we know. Maybe we'll be long raptured and gone by the time it burns out. Listen, guys, the Apostle Paul said that we were like nursing mothers, turned on, being willing to serve when the need was necessary to do so. Our missionary friend in the Pacific Islands, she was turned on. She was willing to be there. She was willing to step up. She was willing to be a nurse to that little baby that was in desperate need. Deborah was turned on. She was willing to step up when was necessary, when others would not step up. You want to know, in the Christian world, in the Christian walk, who it is that burns out? Listen, it's not the guy like Mark who's here all the time, serving diligently all the time. You would think that's the guy that gets burnt out. It's not the Marks that gets burnt out. Listen, it's the Christian that gets turned on and gets turned off. It's the Christian that gets really excited about coming to church for 2 or 3 weeks and then gets sidetracked, gets distracted, and moves on to something else for 2 or 3 or 4 months. And then they may show up again for another week or two or three. They get turned on. They start going to a Bible study. They start reading their word for a minute or so. Right? They're excited about what the word of God says for a minute or so. And then they get turned off. They get distracted by something else. They're the ones that get burned out. But what does the Bible tell us? It says that we are to be ready in season and what? We all need to be turned on. We need to always be ready. We need to always be connected. Now, I'm going to close with this, okay? We read it this morning. Shay read it for us this morning. We're going to read it one more time because it's so rich. I could do 50 sermons on John chapter 15, but turn to John 15. This is worthy of one more read through. John chapter 15, this is Jesus speaking. You know how I know it's Jesus speaking? Because the letters are red. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the vine dresser. He's the one that does the clipping. He's the one that does the pruning. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, some of your translations may be italicized here, and I'm not going to get into this morning, but a lot of people go, see, if you're not connected to the vine, you're going to get taken away, you're going to get cut off. No, another translation says being lifted up. You know, so those grapes that are leaning on the ground and getting moldy and rotten, the farmer or the groomer comes and he lifts up those grapes off of the ground. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do what? Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. This isn't genie in the bottle, guys. This is, man, we're abiding with God. We are so in tune with God the Father that we know what his will is for our life. And if we ask him for anything, as we're asking in his will, he's promised that he's going to give it to us. But if we're not abiding and we're asking God for $1 million, forget it. That's not how God works. But this, my Father, is glorified that you, everyone say you. Now everyone point at somebody and say you. Pointing at you, I'm pointing at me, bear fruit, so you will be my disciples. Closing with this, guys. Abide in the vine. Who's the vine? Who's the vine? Jesus, we need to abide in the vine. Listen, we're here to help one another. We're here to bear one another's burdens. We're here to help each other and do what it takes to make this church operate. We're here to be a nursing mother to this community. We're here to step up like Deborah did when we are needed to step up because maybe someone else isn't stepping up. But listen, we need to be connected to the vine. I feel like a Pentecostal preacher right now. I'm going to start doing cartwheels up and down. But listen, that's not the point. We must be attached to Jesus. We have to be attached to the vine. Listen. I feel like Charles Stanley. Listen. Our identity isn't in what I do for Jesus. Right? It's not the many different hats that I wear. My identity is not in being a deacon. My identity is not being an elder. My identity is not being an usher or a greeter or a Sunday school teacher or a Bible study leader. Listen, my identity isn't in any of those things. Those things are awesome as long as I'm attached to the vine. But my identity is in who? Jesus. It's not my business card, Pastor Mike. It's who I'm attached to, and that's Jesus Christ. Where do you find your identity today, folks? We're connected to the vine. We're nursing mothers. We're mothers for Hood Canal, Hoodsport community. But where's our identity? It has to be in Jesus and in Jesus Christ alone. And when that's the case, man, God is going to bear so much fruit in your life. And we're going to see so much fruit continue to come out from Hood Canal Community Church. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Okay, not your typical Mother's Day message. I'm not typically telling men to be like women, but such an important message, because every single one of us have a role to play. Nurturing, warriors, whatever the case may be, every single one of us have a role to play. And I'm going to leave you with a challenge, folks. I'm going to leave you with a challenge. I'm not asking you to serve in Sunday school or as an usher or greeter. It has nothing to do with that. But where is my identity? And how am I using my identity in Jesus Christ to bless this community and the body of Christ? Think about that. You don't have to write a note and send it back to me. This is between you and the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this Mother's Day that we celebrate. We thank you, God, that we celebrate the giving life of Jesus. Jesus has given us everlasting life for those of us who believe in him. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're so thankful for that. And we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to step up to this challenge, that we would truly dig deep inside of our own heart and ask ourselves, how am I being used for the body of Christ? How am I being used for the kingdom of heaven? I know, God, I have a role to play. And I don't want to take the gifts that you've given me and bury them in the sand. But I want to use those gifts and those talents for your glory, not mine, your glory. Thank you, Jesus, for your love towards me. Thank you for saving me. And thank you for Jesus who lives in my heart and your Holy Spirit. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.